Blog Talk Radio.
SNS Radio Network, this is the Fast Lane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
Check, check.
Check, check. There we
go. All right. Good morning, everybody. We are live now, finally. This is Saturday morning in the Fast Lane, and I am your host, Pete. And we are on location. We are in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania this morning in the beautiful Laurel Highlands area of Pennsylvania. Great area up here. I love being up here. This is our third time now coming up this way. We will be at Jennerstown later today. Today we've got a great show, though. We have Jennerstown regular driver Zane Farrell will be in studio today to talk to us. We will break down some dirt racing a little bit later on Talking Dirty presented by Hammer DFS. And then, of course, coming up later at 10 o'clock, we will have Chris Racic from Hammer DFS joining us for our first edition of Saturday Morning Fantasy Live with Chris. I'm excited to get into that and talk to Chris about some fantasy football. Of course, you all know Thursday was the first game of the regular season, and it is the NFL's 100th season this year. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited to talk to Chris and get him on the show. And like I said, a little bit later, we will have Christina joining us. She will get us all caught up on everything in the dirt racing scene. I know we had a pretty bad accident last night in the All-Stars race, so we'll check in with her, make sure everybody's okay with that. We'll see who won that All-Star race. And, of course, we'll break down the World of Outlaws and the All-Star Circuit of Champions points. I know they were tight battles, so we'll see how they are now as we get towards the end of the season. Right now, though, we have driver Zane Farrell of Zane Farrell Racing with us. He is in studio as we have taken the 357 Woodwork Studios mobile this weekend. Like I said, we will be at Jennerstown in just a few hours, and we'll be doing a live show from the racetrack as well. So let's go ahead and bring Zane in now. Zane, if you want to hop on over here. We've got Zane Farrell, driver of the number 14 late model at Jennerstown Speedway. Zane, welcome back to the show. You've been on a few times. Thank you for your guys' hospitality this weekend for us. And, you know, it's good to see you and good to talk to you. For some of our maybe first-time listeners who may not know you very well, why don't you kind of give us just a quick background or maybe a history about what sparked your initial interest and got you into racing? What was it that led you to say, you know what, I want to drive a race car?
It was my grandfather. He raced for a couple of years in the 70s, and my dad did it. And then when my dad ended up wanting me to try it, so I tried it and I fell in love with it. And here we are 20 some years later.
Yeah. Now this is your second year in the late models at Jennerstown Speedway. Your car number is 14, which was also your modified car number. Is there any history behind that, behind you having the number 14, and also on your late model this year, you chose the Pink Lady paint scheme. So what is the kind of history behind the car number and the paint scheme?
My car number, my grandfather was number 14 for his whole career. He raced. He ran about almost 10 years, to be honest. He ran at the old Schmuckers, which is now Latrobe Speedway. And he ran Jennerstown when it was dirt, Motordrome when it was dirt. And he ran just around here locally. He always ran 14 and ran a pink and white race. So when I moved to late model this year, I chose the Pink Lady scheme, just kind of like, you know, the throwback was the thing now. So I figured, well, we'll do it one or two years and see how it goes.
Now, how big of a transition has it been for you to go from the modifieds to the late models? Was there a big learning curve or, you know, what was that transition like?
Every car I've driven, it's a different learning curve, but some of the basics still the same. But when I went to the late model, from the modified to the late model, I felt to me it was a huge jump. Going from just the modifieds around here are economy modifieds, and they're, you know, old Chevelles and Impalas and converted into a modified race car. And going to a tubular chassis and an actual car that's, you know, the only purpose is to be ran in a circle.
Yeah.
But it was a lot different. It was honestly, to me, it felt like the first time I drove it, it was like driving a Cadillac. It was unreal. It felt like it was on autopilot. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. How long have you been running at Jennerstown, even to total?
I went up there in 2014 when they opened back up a couple times. A new ownership group took over in the current ownership group took over in 2015. And they had a half season, and I ran a couple races up there. I ran part-time in 2015. Then 2016, we got the modified, and we went back full-time up to Jennerstown. The tracks is just such a beautiful track, or the hospitality they give us, and just a place to race every week. It's one of the best in the United States right now.
Yeah, as far as asphalt tracks, I mean, they've put a lot of money into it as well. I say this on the show all the time. You know, our goal here at the Fast Lane Sports Show is to promote small town short tracks, as you know, and the drivers that run there. And, you know, you keep hearing week after week after week, or month after month, you hear this track shut down, this track shut down. But if you look at the ones that are still open, it's the tracks where the owners are taking the money and putting it back into investing it into the track for the fans' perspective and the drivers. Because if you don't have a good track, drivers aren't going to show up. You're not going to have any fans. You're going to shut down. And I can see that with Jennerstown. They've put money into it. It used to flood real bad. When you get in any rain, they fixed that and you know, helped with the rain, drainage there at Jennerstown. So it is nice to see track owners put the money back into the track. And I'm sure you appreciate that as well as a driver.
Yeah, it's good for them, good for us to put money back into the track. It's good for the community too, the surrounding community. Even the fire department, they've been thriving off the track since it come back. The whole community's been really, I think, thriving since the track come back full time. But they are a really, really, really great ownership group, and they care for the racers, and they've told us that we're not in it for the money or anything. We're in here to give guys a place to race, and cars are coming now.
Yeah, and you guys had, what, 40-some cars show up for the Motor Mountain Masters just a few weeks ago, so, and from, like, 9 different states. So they're obviously doing something there. Zane, now, this is your second year. Your second full-time year in the late models. In 2016, you were coming off of a championship year in the modifieds. You won that division. You switched over to the late models in 2018. How important was it for you to finally park it this year and get your first late model win? Winning the championship a few years ago in the modifieds, and then winning again in the late models now, you feel like you've taken the step and you've gotten underneath the car a little bit better?
Yeah, I have really. Getting the first one was always the toughest, and they always say getting the first one's the toughest because then they'll flow right after that. But we've had the speed in our car. We've tried to make some things and kind of one step forward, two step back style. But we've had speed throughout the summer, but not long run speed. But now we've had the past week, I feel like we have long run speed again. And I think if it continues to go that way for us, I think we might be able to steal one the last 3 weeks here.
And as we approach the end of 2019 racing season at Jennerstown, what are you looking to accomplish? What are some personal goals for you with the car? As you only have 3 more races to go, nobody's ever completely out of the points battle. Teddy feels like he's probably safely in first, with sitting on 7 wins. But you've got 3 more weeks to get your car back in victory lane. Maybe not fighting for a championship, but you've got sponsors as well to put in victory lane. So what are maybe some goals as you close out 2019 with the car, maybe looking towards 2020, or whatnot?
I just want to be able to try to run good, be competitive, maybe steal one away from these guys. But, Teddy's the one to beat. He's been the car to beat since opening night. he's the car to beat.
And as we bring this interview to a close, 'cause I know you need to get ready and go get the car ready and everything. And, how would you kind of summarize your year of 2019? Was it another kind of learning year for the car, or, you know, how would you summarize 2019 at Jennerstown for you?
I think it's every year is a learning year. You learn something new with the car, whether it be something in it, something on setup, and just every year. And I feel like we've accomplished all of our goals this year. We got a win, and we ran competitive all year, going from just kind of getting to the track last year to now. We went over the winter of 2019. We kind of just, you know, we said we went all in on it, and I think we're going to do the same thing again next year and just go all in even more. So
that's good. And then any final, you know, shout outs to maybe some sponsors, anybody that helps you work on your crew, you know, helps you work on the car or whatnot. Anybody you want to give a shout out to?
I like to thank, you know, everybody helps out on my crew, and you know, my good friend, Tim Shinosky, he comes every week and helps me, and he loves it. And then, I like to thank my mom and dad, my girlfriend Lacey. She supports me every week too. And my sister Zoe too. She loves coming when she can. I know she can't get out of work every day, but when she works, there's days when she'll work till 5-6, and she'll still go drive the whole way up to the track just to watch the races. I'd like to thank my sponsors too: Kimberly Contracting, Linda Brown's Floral, Loopy and Leo's, Highlands Heating and Air, Martinelli's Auto Service, Farmers Union Co-op, LS Machine Company, R&R Tree Service, and that's all of them.
Yeah, of course, as we all know, that you guys can't do what you do on the weekends without those great sponsors, you know, helping you guys out as well. So, well, Zane, thank you for taking some time and sitting down with us and telling us a little bit about your car and the transitions that you've made and your history. And we wish you the best of luck tonight. Hope you're safe. And, you know, maybe we'll be talking to you again in Victory Lane.
I hope. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That was Zane Farrell, driver of the number 14 late model car up here at Jennerstown Speedway. And of course, we are here in Pennsylvania. We are currently in Mount Pleasant, PA. We're right about in the Laurel Highlands part of Pennsylvania, and it is just beautiful country up here. I love coming up here. Jennerstown is in the mountains up here, and it's just beautiful country. If you ever have a chance to come to Jennerstown Speedway, I highly recommend it. It is an asphalt track, but it is some really good racing, and we will be up there in just a few short hours, and we will get set up once we're there, and we'll try and come to you live from the racetrack, just like we kind of did from Wayne County Speedway a few months ago. So I'm excited about that. Coming up still later in the show, we have Christina. She'll be joining us and doing a little Talking Dirty presented by Hammer DFS. And then, of course, at 10 o'clock, we will have Chris Rasick joining us. He will, it will be the first edition of Saturday Morning Fantasy Live with Chris, right here on the SNS Radio Network. We will take a quick break and be right back. 357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847. For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
And we are back here on Saturday morning in the Fast Lane on the SNS Radio Network. Real quick, just want to do a little shout out to a couple sponsors, of course. Christina will be joining us here just very shortly. And as every guest, she will be joining us on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. Don't forget to look for the all-new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus razors. It features an ultra trimmer, 7th blade for refining and styling. Barbasol has also refined the close shave technology that includes clean rinse, ultra thin blades, and a pivoting head. And of course, for those close, comfortable shaves, be sure to use Barbasol shaving cream. And then, of course, one more thing I'd like to talk about is the hashtag Elena Strong campaign that we are running right now. Just take a couple minutes and talk to you about this. We have never done anything like this before, but a family friend of the show is in need. Elena is an adorable little three-year-old girl who was very recently diagnosed with a very rare disease, severe aplastic anemia. She needs our help. Along with prayers and support for her and her parents, we are trying to raise some money, as Elena will be in and around the hospital for 3 to 4 months, in which her parents will be with her and not able to work. Her favorite color, of course, is purple. So for $5, you can purchase a purple bracelet to show your support and love for this family. Now, of course, any donation will be gladly accepted, but a donation of $5 or more will get you the wristband. Inscribed on the wristband is the phrase, hashtag Elena Strong. If you would like to purchase a wristband or just make a donation, text hashtag Elena Strong, and it's AlaynaStrong, to 330-209-4597. We will then, of course, respond. We'll get some information from you. We'll let you know where you can send the $5 donation, and then we will get the bracelets shipped out as soon as possible. Of course, there's information on our Facebook and Twitter pages about the hashtag Elena Strong campaign that we are proudly a part of. And thank you for taking some time to listen to that. And hopefully we can raise a little bit of money for her as well. All right. We've got Christina on the line now. Let's go ahead and bring her in if we can get the computer to work. Christina, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. How you doing today? Dorian clipped by and seems everything was all right.
Yeah, no, we got really lucky. Really, really lucky. We dodged a major bullet. Parts of Florida north of us got hit a lot harder with storm surges and stuff, but the Carolinas got it way worse. Way, way worse.
Yeah.
But no, we're good. We're back to 104 degree weather. The sun's out. So, yeah.
Well, that's
back to
that's
normal
good.
Day.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that you guys were okay and that you didn't get what was expected at first. I mean, they were calling for some major hurricanes come in there for a minute. I think it was up to like a Category 5. So glad to hear that you guys were okay and that everything was good with you guys. But here we are. It's another Saturday. We're on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Of course, you're joining us on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. And Christina, it sounds like there was a pretty good red flag last night in the All-Star race. Looked like about five or six cars got caught up. And I know it sounds like one of them or two of them was some guys that you know.
Well, it turns out that it was a bunch of guys I knew that got in that wreck. I rewatched it this morning on that lap one, you know. Now, turn three, it'll come out and it'll grab you. Don't be afraid, Port Royal Speedway. It's a little fast and it will grab you. So, no, I mean, let's see, who all was in this wreck? A lot, as we know. So, Tyler Reeser, he's a local, you know, Port Royal driver. Lance DeLeese, everybody across the country knows who Lance is. Lance was in that wreck. Kyle Reinhart, who actually won the Labor Day Classic. Big win for him. 4-10 win. He's also the 360 champion for Sealands Grove Speedway. They crowned their track champion already, but he was involved in that wreck. So was Josh Bauman. Paul McMahon. Ugh. The rough one. I like Polly. I hate seeing Polly in these tangles and stuff. Danny Dietrich was involved, but somehow Danny Dietrich finished 11th. I don't know how that happened. His damage must not have been that substantial. Dale Blaney wasn't an easy night for Dale Blaney either, but you know, it's been a crazy. It was crazy. The night before the 50. So that was last night, which is where this wreck happened. We knew this was going to happen. Somewhere along the line, people were going to get tangled up with each other because, you know, you want to win all that money. You know, it's all about that money. But what's disappointing is if you look at it, we don't – the first PA posse driver, quote-unquote posse driver, is Anthony Macri. He finished 5th. And then the All-Stars kind of took away with it. Then you got Ryan Smith and Freddie Raymer that finished 7th and 8th. But that's it. The rest were All-Stars in the top 10. That's not a good showing for the Pennsylvania folks. They better get up on the wheel tonight. That's all I got to say. Hammer down.
Yeah. How are we looking on the All-Star points? I know for a few weeks now, Blaney's been in a tight battle right there.
It's still a very tight battle. So, you know, as we said, Dale Blaney was in that incident last night. Well, Aaron Russell was not incident-free either. Later on in the race, Aaron Russell had a flat tire go down, had a, you know, rear tire go down flat. Not a good night for that either. So, as the points shaken up, come towards the end of the, you know, the points runs here for the All-Stars, Dale Blaney has a mere 4-point lead over Aaron Russell going into tonight.
Oh, he's so in first now.
Yeah. I mean, they've been, I don't know how. I was talking to Jim before, you know, the show, and I'm like, you know, he's got a 4-point lead. And he's like, how? He's been a wreck. I was like, this is the way it goes. You never know. Yeah, so it's crazy because, you know, Aaron Russell won at Bedford a couple days earlier. So it's, oh, man, I don't know. It's going to be crazy, the last couple races. So they'll race again tonight at Port Royal Speedway. Don't be shocked if you see a lot of beating and banging tonight. You know, they're on speed shift, so speed shift's out there broadcasting, and if y'all saw how close the action got to the cameraman last night, I'm sure he almost, like, you know, was thinking, why the hell am I up here? And an unfortunate incident for Lucas Wolf. So Lucas Wolf was injured and out for a while in a bad accident earlier in the year. Now, mind you, it was only his second race back in the race car last night. And during qualifying, the axle broke. The rear axle in his car broke and sent the tire up over the fence, zoomed right past the cameraman, and hit a damn house outside of the speedway.
Jeez.
There's pictures of it on Facebook. You know, everybody's okay. Lucas Wolf's okay. Nobody was hurt in the house. most of the people that live in that house are at the racetrack 90% of the time anyway. I know I know some of them in that area that have houses. They're always at the track anyway. So nobody was there. Nobody got hurt. But they retrieved the tire.
Well, that's good.
And not that it mattered because it broke the axle. So it was a rough go for him in his second race back after being in a violent accident. And this one was violent, too. But, no, he walked away just fine. Everybody was okay in the melee that happened that red flagged the race, too. So nothing went crazy there. But, like I said, they'll race again tonight at Port Royal Speedway for the Tuscarora 50. It is $52,000 to win, my friends. $52,000.
That's it?
That's it. That's a lot of moolah.
That is a lot.
So, yeah, so they're going to race there tonight, and then next weekend they're at Atomic. It's a two-race weekend at Atomic Speedway as well, which we'll follow up on and see where it may lead us in points, because it's going to shake up tonight for sure. But Trey Starks actually ended up winning last night. I'm pretty sure I did not even say that. We got so wrapped up in the accidents, the tire, and the car, I forgot to tell you who won. My bad. Trey Starks is actually, from the West Coast. Ironically enough, the person that helps make this car go around is a guy from Pennsylvania. So, it's a little mashup mix-up of that, and Trey Starks runs everywhere and anywhere. The guy that owns BAPS actually helps with that car financially as well, so... it's cool to see too, but I do want to shout out Zane. I love me some late models. Just saying, late models are life. I tweeted it.
Yep.
That's true.
We'll be.
And I grew up with late models, so.
I'll be getting my fill of it here in a few hours.
That's the best thing.
Let's talk about some World of Outlaw late models.
Oh, I was going to tell you about the Port Royal late models first. The late models ran at Port Royal last night. Yeah,
okay.
These guys are serious over there, too. Well, any late model, trust me, any late model series anywhere is serious. These guys run crazy. They're hard-knock drivers. So last night was a huge race as well for the late models because it came up. Last night was one of the final races for the tri-state, quote-unquote, championship thing that they were doing, and it's hard to follow along sometimes, but these guys ran hard, and one of my favorites growing up and everything, just shows you how old he is, Rick Eckert ended up winning again. He seizes up that championship as well. So Rick Eckert's on a tear, as we know. Rick Eckert is great at what he does. We saw lots of drivers though, late model guys in here. We saw Brian Bernheisel, we saw Dylan Yoder, Dan Stone, who runs everywhere. Jeff Ryan, who's he's a very hated late model driver. Very hated. They boo him when he comes out there. And Andy Haas and Jason Smith and everyone else. So, it was a great night for late models. Port does all kinds of cool stuff with late models, too. So if you guys ever want to, check out the world of, World of late model racing, so to speak. Those guys, they do a lot too. Port does. They're a great track to see late models. But speaking of, we want to talk about the World of Outlaw late models. Let me pull them in here quick. Oh, I had it up. My bad. I was already ahead of the game. So they're on a bit of a break. I see that they don't race again until September 19th, which will be State Line Speedway. So let's check out here. They did Sharon on August 30th, and then they've been like, wah-wah, on a break. I think they needed it. They did, they had all kinds of money involved. We heard, there was thousands of millions of dollars they were racing for all over the place. You want to know what's really cool? During the delay of the NASCAR race last week, we heard Clint Bowyer talk about his late model driver and how he won. So, cool too. I always forget he owns a late model. I don't know how I can forget that, but he does. He owns a late model. But not a lot has changed in the points since we were talking about them last time. Brandon Shepherd is still leading the points there, and he's got a 254-point lead over Ricky Weiss.
Goodness
That's
gracious.
A lot of points. Yeah, and Darrell Lanigan is sitting fifth, which, you know, Darrell Lanigan is a name a lot of folks will know. But, yeah, they've been on a bit of a break. Brandon Shepherd. Man is a, he's like a late model winning machine. I don't know. It's crazy. I've never seen somebody win as much as him in 1 year. So, you know, those guys do. He's like the Donnie Schatz of late model racing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a good equivalent to it.
Yeah. what are we looking at as far as World of Outlaw sprints?
Craziness.
Yeah. It's always crazy with
you. Yes. Always, it usually is. So let's see here. Well, we ended up seeing, you know, some people. I think last time we talked about Saget Speedway and how Logan Schuchart won the first night at Saget. He ended up winning the second night.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2 for 2. Boom. Yeah. Banked in that money. He beat Donnie Schatz, too. So Donnie Schatz ended up finishing second, and Brad Sweet ended up finishing third in that race at Saget. And then they went to Gray's Harbor, which was Labor Day, where we got race results there. Darren Pittman pulled off the win, who we all know used to race for Casey Kane Racing, which is now in the Roth 83. He ended up winning there. Donnie Schatz, bridesmaid again, and Carson McAdoo finished third. And that one, and then we went to Willamette Speedway on the 4th, which would have been Wednesday. I just think of my days of the week there. And Brad Sweet, the big Brad Bag Cat Sweet, doing all kinds of winning this year. He ended up winning again at Willamette Speedway. And then we saw David Gravel and Ian Mattson. That rounded out your top three in the podium. No Donnie Schatz there. And last night, we were at Silver Dollar Speedway this entire weekend. So they raced there last night, and they'll race there tonight as well. Well, lo and behold, Big Brad, Bad Cat, won again. I mean, that was – how many wins? I forget what the – he's 11. That's 11 wins now, I believe, for him this year.
That's
if I
crazy.
Can count. Properly, it's 11 wins. Tim Kading finished second, and Shane Goblick finished third. Sheldon Hodenshield ended up being the hard charger of this race last night. Sheldon went from 13th to 4th, so that's a good showing for him as well. And then Donnie Schatz was 5th. Logan Schuchart was 6th. So that's kind of how last night went. You know, Brad Sweet wins. More wins, so they'll race again at Silver Dollar Speedway. So look for Brad to be strong. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Donnie Schatz do a little bounce back here. But as far as the points go, it's getting tighter. Not as tight as the All-Stars points battle, but it's getting there. Donnie Schatz is leading over Brad Sweet by a mere 18 points, so it's getting closer. A points lead's getting smaller, and you know these guys race a lot longer. We're not going to see these guys end until World Finals, which is the first week in weekend in November. So they've got 2 full more months of racing to go. We got David Gravel 3rd, Darren Pittman 4th, and Logan Schuchart is still sitting in 5th, rounding out your top 5. So I mean, they're going to race tonight. Then they race September 11th, the 13th, and the 14th. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a schedule.
A lot. Yeah, they're going to be in California this coming week. Placerville Speedway is Wednesday, which will be the September 11th race. That's the 49er Gold Rush Classic, which, mind you, who's from California? The big bad Brad Cat.
So he'll
just
be
saying,
back home.
Be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. He'll be back home looking to win at home. But no, that's a roundup. Nothing too serious in the shakeup with the Outlaws. The Outlaws weren't, I don't know if I want to say as thrilling, but I feel like it was thrilling for the All-Stars in more ways than one. Brad doing what Brad does best, getting that second Silver Dollar Speedway win. He's only ever won there one other time, which blows my mind that he hasn't won there more than once until last night. But
right,
hey. That's it for the World Outlaws. It's been a calm, flowing weekend for them so far. I say that now tonight will be chaos.
Right. Well, I say we take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll do our special penalty box segment. I can't wait to hear
who gets
thrown in.
Oh, you're
going to
love this week.
Oh, I can't wait.
You're going to love it.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. We've got Christina with us. She's joining us on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. This is Talking Dirty presented by Hammer DFS. When we come back from the break, we will find out who Christina is throwing in the penalty box today.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
Y'all know what that means. It's time for the penalty box. And I know that this is Christina's favorite segment of the show. So, Christina, who is this week's recipient of the penalty box?
Well, it's no one in racing this week. We're going to go into the realm of the NFL. It should be no shock to anybody that this person's going to get thrown in the penalty box. But I don't understand it. I don't understand the touch or tantrum. I don't understand trying to fight your general manager who pays you and this and that. So Antonio Brown in this controversy that keeps on happening is going to sit in the penalty box because I don't get it. Wear the designated helmet, quit crying like a ball baby, then don't there and trying to attack somebody and then they find you and now you're being a ball baby and say, well, I'm not playing and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Well, if I'm Oakland, just cut his ass. Be done. Let him sit unemployed. Well,
I don't know.
Grow up.
Yeah. Yeah. He is being quite the baby right now. So
I don't know. He's the biggest drama queen in the NFL.
I don't know what his problem is.
He's a drama queen. Drama queen. And if anybody has a video of whatever went down, please tweet it to me because I've yet to see it. I mean, did he like legit full on attack the general manager? Like, what the hell happened? I swear I'm not up in my football life yet. I mean, the NFL has had one damn game in their opening 100th season as the NFL, and the only thing I hear about is Antonio Brown.
Like, it's going to be like that all year.
I know. Well, let's talk about how the Green Bay Bears game was. Well, I went to sleep because I was bored during it. So, I mean.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty bad, but. Sounds like it was a defensive battle.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
I will give it this. The Chicago's only 3 points. I did see happen. And I feel like that whole stadium held their breath during the whole time that the brand new kicker was getting ready to kick a field goal. Yeah, so that's funny, but it happens. It's cool. But, oh, no, I can just go to the NFL and see some videos that were posted. So, oh, Lord, the NFL's even promoting this. Why?
No. So Antonio Brown finds himself in the penalty box this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of idiots and videos, Michael Annette got a little crazy yesterday in Indianapolis with Kyle Weatherman and Mike Harmon Racing. So the challenge was thrown down to meet at Applebee's last time I checked in, my sources say that nobody showed up. So there was no Royal Rumble at Applebee's.
No. No, which is disappointing. It didn't happen. But I feel like Michael Annette knew there was no way. Mike Harmon may not be the best, funded driver out there right anymore. But, I mean, come on. He apologized. Like, let's go. Get over it. Don't call him names on TV, Michael Annette. Just wait. Because you know what? You know what's going to end up happening if, by chance, they are anywhere near each other during today's race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fireworks are going to fly. And can I just... Now you bring racing up. I wasn't going to. But Ryan Newman is...
Yeah.
That ogre is something else. I don't know what it is. But
what I miss.
Ryan Newman irritates me to no end. And everybody knows I love Daniel Suarez. I'm a big supporter of Daniel Suarez. He's been on the, Slicks and Sticks shows. I don't know, probably what? I can't keep track. A good bit of time. We've know this. But he never touched him when Ryan Newman went round last week. You clearly see videos, multiple angles, where Suarez's car never touched him.
Yes,
Ryan Newman had a fit like Ryan Newman always does. Has a freaking. So now, you know, this is the final race weekend going before the chase, and as it sits right now, Suarez is in and Newman's out. Granted, I don't know how that was going to work considering they're both tied point-wise, but it shows Suarez above the cut line.
I think Suarez
has
better finishes.
Oh, true. Yeah, he's been a little more consistent throughout the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
But, Ryan Newman can join Antonio Brown in the penalty box. Maybe we'll just, we can throw Michael Annette in there for his on-camera interview because that was just dumb. He apologized and you were cool with him off-air, but as soon as you got on-air, you decided to puff the chest and be whatever. That's stupid. I don't get that. Controversy. Drama. All in the say, but we'll see. If Ryan Newman retaliates over something that he never got touched, I mean, that speaks to exactly who Ryan Newman is, which we all know. We've seen it for, as long as he's been in the sport. So, yeah, no, but I just don't like Ryan Newman.
Yeah.
I never did.
I don't know. He's never bothered me, so.
He also hasn't wrecked a driver you like either, so.
No, he hasn't.
No. No.
And you'll
never
get the chance anymore.
No, not going to happen. But I will say I like the paint schemes. That's, you know, my closing moment with NASCAR. I enjoyed the paint schemes, the Darlington throwbacks. They were pretty cool. That was my favorite part for the most part for the whole weekend. Can't say I enjoyed who won the race. Can't say that. But I like the paint schemes.
You didn't like the finish of that race?
I mean, I didn't mind the finish. I mean, I liked seeing, you know, Kyle Busch try to wreck everybody there to win, but I enjoy seeing that. But, I was more of a fan of Eric Jones in the late model stuff. I'm not really a fan of him now in Cup. I don't know.
I will tell you this, though, about that racing last week. I enjoyed the racing at Darlington. I thought I know a couple of drivers didn't care for it, but I thought there was a lot of passing, especially, you know, you've got guys two or three or four times in one lap fighting for the lead, fighting for other positions further back. I thought it was actually pretty good racing from a fan standpoint. I know some of the drivers after the race said they didn't care for it, but I did. I thought it was exciting. And it was the whole race. It wasn't like the middle 300 laps were boring. It was a solid start to finish, good action type of racing I'd like to see more often every week.
Oh, yeah. No, it was. The racing itself was I enjoyed, and I watched the entire race, even though it was delayed forever in a day. But that's okay. I will say the favorite part during the delay was seeing Clint Bowyer go up in the stands and interview a fan.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was fun. That was and, you know, it was very Clint Bowyer-like as well. But we'll see, because this weekend is it for regular season. Do or die for drivers. Will your driver make it in? Will your driver not make it in? I mean, I don't. There's a lot of unknowns, and we could see the first season where Jimmy Johnson doesn't make the playoffs.
I wouldn't count him out yet.
I hope he doesn't. It would add so much to the season that's already been ridiculous and crazy as it is, so...
Yeah,
no, and this has been that kind of season, so we'll see. Although this is the Brickyard, watch him go and out and win the whole damn thing. That would be our luck. But
oh shoot! This weekend is the final race of the regular season for the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series. The Xfinity races today. Trucks are off again this week. Trucks won't be back till Vegas, I think. Was Vegas next week?
Yeah, so disappointing.
So, and they're in their playoffs already, and it's getting heated up in battles in the truck series. So, the truck series is always a good series. I like watching truck series.
The trucks are better. By far, the trucks have a more, I don't know, not really competitive. But they're all competitive, but I don't know how to say it. It's just there's more action. It's more battling. You never know who's going to win. It could be a new winner every week. Their points are really close, too. And, I mean, I just want to say that I hope Ross Chastain goes out and proves, all the haters and naysayers wrong. I joined the bandwagon. I'm on the Ross Chastain bandwagon. I have been for a long time. I think we've all been secretly cheering for him for a while now. So hopefully he does good.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him get back on the track. I try and watch the truck races, so those are always fun.
They're always,
always fun. Yep. So I think what we will do is we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will be getting ready for Chris Racick to join the show. He will be calling on the Barbasol Shave phone lines, and we'll be doing our first edition of Saturday Morning Fantasy Live with Chris. So I'm excited about that. I'm sure Christina's going to listen in and take some notes for all her fantasy football teams that she is a part of. But we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, Christina and I will wrap up this segment and get ready for Chris to come on. So stick around. We'll be right back.
.357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at .357 Woodworks. .357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at .357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at .357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
All right, we are back here, the 357 Woodworks Studios. We want to thank 357 Woodworks and Scott over there for coming on board in 2019. We have taken the studios mobile, and we are in Western Pennsylvania this weekend. We will be at Jennerstown Speedway here in just a few short hours. We'll be getting set up there, doing a live show from the Speedway. And Christina, it's been another wonderful Saturday morning talking to you and getting all caught up in the dirt racing world and throwing people in the penalty box. That's always fun. I'm excited to get some racing in out here on the asphalt out here at Jennerstown Speedway. I'm excited for this.
I mean, it's going to be fun to, you know, see you back. Well, I won't see you at the track, but it's going to be good to have you back at a track. So now enjoy that. You know, it was fun for me to throw people in the penalty box like I do every week. I think, you know, soon it'll get more. There'll be more soon, you know, with the penalty box. Hockey's only a mere 4 weeks away. So, you know, we're getting very close to the start of the NHL season as well. NFL just started, and look, I've already got one person in the penalty box from the NFL. So, I mean, literally, it should be a fun time, even though, you know, racing's starting to wind down. There's a lot going on. But, enjoy, you know, your trip to Jennerstown. Best of luck to Zane as well. I'll be listening. I won't know what the heck's going on with fantasy sports, but I'll listen in and see how things go there with, you know, with you guys and Chris there. But it was fun to be on the show. Thank you. And, you know, have fun at the track.
Oh, yeah, we will do. I got my hoodie ready. It's a little chilly out here today, but it beats the 90s and 100-degree weather. But, yeah, it's going to be chilly. So if you're heading out to Jennerstown tonight to watch the racing, make sure you grab a hoodie and bring one with you. It's already chilly, so I can imagine it'll be like tonight. But yeah, thanks for stopping by, Christina. As always, every week, you come by and you get us all cut up on the dirt racing. So I can't wait to see how the points look next weekend. And of course, we will be updating everybody throughout the night tonight about Jennerstown. They've got a few tight points battles as well going on here in some of the divisions. So we'll be watching that. But yeah, Chris is coming up here very shortly. So Christina, thank you. Have a good rest of your weekend. And we will talk to you throughout the week. And then, of course, we'll talk to you on air next Saturday.
My pleasure. Enjoy, y'all. Enjoy listening to Chris and Pete talk about fantasy sports and get your brackets ready or your teams ready, whatever you need to do, because it's all going down today. Enjoy.
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
I'll see you later, y'all.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Christina. Thank you. All right. There you have it. That was Talking Dirty, presented by Hammer DFS on this Saturday morning. This is Saturday morning in the Fast Lane. We are on location in Western PA. We will take a quick break, and then when we come back, top of the hour, we will have Chris joining us, and we'll do a little fancy football talk.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
On the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fast Lane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the top of the hour, and we are here live on location in Western Pennsylvania. We have the 357 Woodwork Studios with us, and we are now starting our first edition of Saturday Morning Fantasy Live with Chris, and we have Chris with us on the Barbasol Shea phone lines now. Chris, hello, are you there?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We're out here in Western Pennsylvania, up in the Laurel Highlands area of the of Pennsylvania. Pretty beautiful country out here, up in the mountains. This is our annual trip to Jennerstown. We'll be at the racetrack here in a couple hours. Chris, thank you for doing this. Of course, for those who may not have heard, I don't know how they wouldn't have, but Hammer DFS is a new sponsor to the show in 2019. You guys came on this year. We actually have Talking Dirty presented by Hammer DFS. And I was sitting around thinking, you know what, I'd like to get Chris a little bit more involved in the show. And I thought, what a better way than on Saturday mornings, have you stop by for 20 minutes, half hour, and we just talk fantasy football and get people caught up maybe on thinking what they should do for Sunday and who they should put in their lineup. So thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you for the invitation. We're really excited to be part of your show. Appreciate what you're doing. You know, you're grinding away. I can, you know, carrying a full-time job, the amount of airtime that you put up, Pete, and the crew that you got that puts this all together is pretty impressive. I got a full-time job, and you know, I'm working 7 days a week on Hammer DFS myself. So I appreciate the grind. So I'm very happy to be a part of this. We started, I suggested maybe a giveaway, you know, like a T-shirt or something like that. And I said, hey, if you don't have a guest, you know, maybe I can call in and we'll give away a T-shirt or something like that. And next thing you know, you hit me with this idea of a segment, and I was all about it.
Well, that's good.
I appreciate the invite. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, no problem. I say we get right into it. Of course, now there was week one has already started on Thursday. We had the Packers and the Bears. So there's not much that we can do about that. But looking forward to Sunday, what are maybe a couple, you know, off the top of your head standouts are you looking at for tomorrow as far as fantasy-wise?
Well, you know, you got, of course, if you're playing daily fantasy on DraftKings and FanDuel, you've got the main slates are Sunday. You know, you can either have, they do a 1 o'clock only slate. They'll do the main slate, which will cover the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games. They'll chop up, they'll add an all day Sunday, which will fold in the Sunday night game. So there's a bunch of different slates to play. So as far as daily fantasy goes, you know, we're talking Sunday is the main chunk. You know, that's the most meat on the bone there. And if you're playing daily, that's what you're primarily focusing on. So as far as that's concerned, we can talk about the snooze fest that was Thursday night if you want to, but it might be better to just move along past that. That was, somebody said we played lines Thursday night because you can play one game showdown lines, and at one point I think in the third quarter, one of the members was in the chat and said I wish I could have rostered the Green Bay punter because he ended up punting like 8 times. So I honestly don't know. I don't know how much credit I'm giving the defenses. You know, honestly, it looked like two very rusty offenses. You know,
yeah.
Chicago offense may just be bad. I'm not a big fan of Trubisky in general. And Green Bay looked like a first team offense that hadn't played in the preseason at all and looked very rusty under a new offensive system with Matt LaFleur. So that was a bit of a snooze fest. So hopefully, I think there's no doubt that this Sunday will be quite a bit more exciting. What we want to do is what we're looking at this Sunday, you know, there's a couple things that are popping out. You know, the advantage in daily fantasy is that they released the pricing so early. The pricing has been out for weeks, right? So you have so many things up in the air, you know, as far as these holdouts, you know, you had Zeke, you still have Melvin Gordon, you know, so the pricing doesn't necessarily reflect the current situation. So, you know, you have, you know, you've got Zeke who ended up signing, right? But now word's coming out that he may be limited to about 20 to 25 snaps. Now that doesn't necessarily jive with other holdouts that have ended. Like when Le'Veon Bell back in 2017, when he held out, he came back and he played, I think, 41 snaps, which it was his lowest snap total of that season, but it was quite a bit higher than what they said. It was a similar situation. So I'm a little bit worried about Zeke. Now, in season long, I have him on one of my teams. I'm definitely playing Zeke in my season long fantasy. If you're playing daily fantasy, I don't think I can do it because he's priced all the way up. You know, he's going to be one of the more expensive running backs. It's a pretty good game overall. You know, I'm not necessarily ruling out any exposure to that Dallas New York Giants game. Last time they played late in the season last year, people might not realize how competitive the Giants got later in the season. They finished the last eight games 4-4. And late in the season last year, the Giants actually held the lead going into the two-minute warning. That was a game that ended 35-34. And, you know, the Giants have a history of playing pretty well in Dallas. So, you know, I'm not ruling out exposure to that game. But as far as daily fantasy, I'm not playing Zeke. Now, the flip side, you know, staying with the holdout situation, Melvin Gordon doesn't look like he's close to signing with the Chargers, right? And basically, management said contract negotiations are over. You can either play for the $5 million and change that you're signed for or not at all, right? And we can talk at the end of the season. So Melvin Gordon, you know, and he dropped in season long. You know, if you had a season long fantasy football draft, you know, you saw Melvin Gordon going very, very late. You know, he was, I think the last draft that we had, I had one Wednesday night. That was the last one that I'm going to play in. Melvin Gordon, I think, went in the eighth or ninth round, I want to say. So, you know, you're looking at a top five running back under normal circumstances, dropping that low. And honestly, even taking him in the eighth or ninth round, you're not even sure if that's a good pick or not. You don't know if they're going to trade him out of time or what. So the point I'm getting at with the Melvin Gordon situation is you have guys who are priced pretty cheaply that were, when the pricing came out, were supposed to be backups. And I'm talking about Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson for the San Diego backfield. You can get Eckler now priced as a backup, but he's going to be RB1. Right? So you got over on FanDuel, Austin Eckler is $6,400. All right, so he's priced up a little bit. DraftKings, you can get him for $5,500. Now, there were three games last year that Melvin Gordon wasn't playing, but Eckler and Jackson both did, right? They played three games without Gordon. And the share of the ball, if for people who are worried about Justin Jackson kind of eating into the snaps from Austin Eckler, Eckler averaged almost eight targets, and he had at least 13 carries. Okay, so that's pretty good output for an RB1. Especially in the offense of the Chargers run. You know, they're facing Indy. They're currently sitting at about a 6.5-point home favorite. Not that these Los Angeles Chargers have a home field advantage. They're kind of weird situation out there since they moved from San Diego.
Yeah.
But you got 6.5-point favorite, which, and how that correlates, that's one of the keys that we always look at Hammer. You always have to look at the Vegas data. Because Vegas will tell you a good idea of what the game script is going to be, you know. So if you have a game that with a 6.5-point favorite, like the Chargers are, or even more importantly, or one of the better situations is Seattle is currently a home favorite facing the Bengals in their home opener. They're a 10-point home favorite, right? So in these kind of situations, Vegas is telling you it's not going to be a close game. Right, so you can picture the game script going that it's going to be the favorite gets out to a big lead, and then the vast majority of teams, when they get a big lead, they like to run the ball because you just need to keep the clock running, you know, just kind of run the clock out and get to the locker room with the W, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Eckler's in a good situation. You're getting a little bit of a discount as far as what his role is going to be now that Gordon's out of the picture, and then going back to that Seattle game. You know, if you're playing daily fantasy, you got to look at Chris Carson. I just wrote up my running back article last night, and he's my number one target. Seattle, nobody ran the ball more than Seattle last season. They ran it over 52% of the time. It was rushing plays. And they came out in the offseason, and they said they want to run the ball even more this season. So it's going to be a heavy dose of handing the ball off. Right, and you got a situation there where most signs you won't find anybody that thinks Rashad Penny has an advantage over Chris Carson as far as being the starting running back. Right, the vast majority shows Carson winning that starting role. Okay, so even, you know, the modern NFL, these running backs, you know, it's running back by committee, and it's tough to find a true feature back anymore. Mm-hmm. That's why guys like Zeke Long go so high when he's not holding out, of course.
Yeah.
So you got to split backfield. Rashad Penny's going to get some carries. He's going to get some looks. But it's going to be Chris Carson, as far as I'm concerned. And Chris Carson, when he came back from an injury about midway through the season, he missed a couple games last year. He missed two. And he came back, and he was a top 10 running back from the time he got back from his injury through the end of the season. You know, people may not realize how strong of a fantasy presence Chris Carson carried through the end of last season. So, and you got Cincy, right? Cincy is not going to be good. You know, obviously a 10-point dog on the road. And they're missing A.J. Green. You know, so the likelihood that they're going to be able to put points up and actually make this competitive is severely diminished by A.J. Green missing out. You know, Tyler Boyd becomes the number one passing threat in the offense. I do expect a decent season out of Joe Mixon, but they're just overmatched. Yeah, and you know Seattle at home, they have a massive home field advantage. And I believe I read the stat is – I think they've won their last 10 straight home openers, and it hasn't even been close.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're looking at Seattle with a 14, 20-point lead, you know, midway or late in the third quarter, it's going to be a whole lot of Chris Carson. You know, so you can pick him up. If you're playing on DraftKings, you can get him $5,700. I mean, that's a great price. That's a great value. $6,600 over on FanDuel. You know, so but I mean, I'd be shocked if he doesn't have 20 carries and 100 yards, you know, and then figuring there's a real good chance he punched it into the end zone, and that's value all day long. I mean, that's kind of output that you want, especially at that price for him.
Yeah, we have Chris Racick with us. He's joining us on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. This is Saturday Morning Fantasy Live with Chris, presented by Hammer DFS, and Chris is of course with Hammer DFS. He's joining us today. Chris, hold on one second. We've got somebody else on the line. We'll see. Maybe they have a fantasy question. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. Mike in Pittsburgh. I'm actually saw this show's air in Western Pennsylvania, so I thought I'd chime in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead. You're live on the air.
Okay, two questions. First one's a comment. Second one's a question for Chris. So this morning, the Antonio Brown news. That now he's wavered back again. Finally, after it looked like he was going to play Monday night, now he's gone back again. As someone that lives in the Pittsburgh area but is not a Pittsburgh fan, there's nothing more than I want to see than Antonio Brown going to the New England Patriots.
right.
Yeah, right. However, I heard something now, and it's that it's a possibility it could be the New Orleans Saints, because at this point, no team's going to give him guaranteed money. And it's going to be like on a game-to-game, year-to-year, prove-it type of deal. So it's more like he wants to stick it to people then it's going to be someone giving him a legitimate contract.
Sure. Yeah, you got to assume it's going to be an incentive-laden contract, whatever he signs moving forward.
Yeah, so my question for you, and I'll get off the line here quick. That was my comment. The question for you is I've been told, and I've been doing a lot of research, that basically there are three fantasy football players that are above and beyond everyone else. And it's Patrick Mahomes, Saquon Barkley, and McCaffrey for Carolina. Am I correct on that? Are they head and shoulders above everyone else is the top three, or is there anyone else in that category?
All right. That's an interesting question. Well, first, thanks for the question, by the way. To reset the Antonio Brown, anybody who didn't catch up, this news is only coming out within the last hour. It turns out Oakland has fined Antonio Brown $215,000 for conduct detrimental to to the team, what that does is that $215,000 fine, that voids the $29 million and change worth of guaranteed money on Antonio Brown's contract. So Antonio Brown, he posted an Instagram video and said, ask the Raiders to release him. Right? So he's not playing. He's not going to play for not guaranteed money. You know, he's not going to play. So he asked for his release. So that's this thing never ends with Antonio Brown. I don't understand this guy. I put it this way: when the fact that you don't wear socks into your cryo chamber and you get frostbite on your feet is like the 10th craziest thing you've done in the off season, you know you're a certified wing nut, right?
Right.
So yeah. I don't, like, how does that go away? Like, frostbite, that's just an afterthought at this point with all the drama going on. Now to your main question. Yeah, you got the top three fantasy players overall. And we're kind of crossing categories. You asked about Mahomes in the quarterback category, and then Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey. What Mahomes did last year, or last season, was incredible. You know, he's just, no matter which way you look at, whether it was a PPR league, half-point PPR, or no PPR at all, Mahomes smashed everyone. You know, there's no scoring scenario where Mahomes wasn't the top scoring fantasy player in the league. Consequently, he went very, very high in season-long drafts, rightfully so. You know, how could you argue against anyone picking Mahomes very, very high? Now, one caveat to that I'll throw out there, it's still an Andy Reid offense, which is always a very potent offense. He's never really – he's got a ton of weapons. I don't expect Kansas City to be a low-scoring offense by any means. I mean, that's a simple truth there. What I will say is, anytime you give NFL defenses and defensive coordinators a full year of tape on any player, they do – a fairly good job of coming up with a way to stop that player. Okay. Now I'm not arguing against Mahomes overall. You know, do I like him? Do I want him on all my teams if I could? Absolutely. The kid's a special talent. But the two question marks that have to be sitting in the back of your head is the defense coordinator, you know, the defenses that he's going to face, they know him. You know, he's not an unknown commodity anymore. You know, last season-long drafts, he was a risky pick. You know, he was going as somewhere in the 7th to 12th quarterback chosen in season-long drafts because nobody knew. Nobody knew if this kid was for real. So, you know, but now that surprise factor is gone. So you have to factor that in. And then you also – throw in the fact of, and this is more of a subjective comment, is this is his sophomore season. You know, how many times do you see, and the two are probably correlated between the defenses and then somebody's second year. Plenty of times you see people in their second year, that sophomore slump, you know, that cliche that we hear. It might not be, you know, is he going to throw 50 touchdown passes again this year? I bet the under on that. You know, if there's a sports book betting, I'm taking the under on 50. But if you told me he throws 40 and change, yeah, I'd buy it. You know, which I guess to answer your question, that puts him at the top again, because I don't know what other quarterback is going to have that kind of volume. The running backs, Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, what you have in that situation? The tier below those two guys may be a little bit closer than in the quarterback situation. Saquon is he's a freak, right? I mean, you can't stop this guy. You know, the advantage that these two backs have is they're feature backs, like I mentioned earlier. You know, you have a whole bunch of teams. The majority of the teams are going to split backfields and, you know, running back by committee and all that stuff. So, this is that situation that I was talking about earlier where you have somebody who gets 75% or more of the snaps, meaning they're on the field for the vast majority of the offensive plays. That's an advantage right there. You know, that puts them in, you know, a minority across the league. So, but now Saquon and Run CMC for in Carolina, those are the top two. Those are the top two I would take. But if they're off the board, or if you're in a daily fantasy situation where you're like, I don't know if I want to pay all the way up to get McCaffrey, because he is obviously is expensive, because he's worth it most of the time, to be honest. You know, if you drop down, you know, Zeke's on the field over 80% of the time. You know, if you couldn't get McCaffrey in a season-long league and you settled with Zeke, now this is taking the contract out, and let's assume he's in football shape and he's going to be the Zeke that we know from previous seasons. Yeah, you're not too far off. You know, I don't think you're at a gross disadvantage. You know, I was in a season-long league when Zeke we drafted on Sunday, and that was before Zeke had his contract. I had the 7th pick in the draft, and Zeke was still there. I took him, you know, because I knew more than likely Jerry Jones was going to get something done because, you know, Jerry Jones is a bit special, and he thinks this is his Super Bowl team. And he also knows what his team is like without Zeke. So I was pretty confident a contract would get done Sunday. So the 7th pick, I thought I was getting a pretty good value for him at that point. And Zeke caught 70 balls last year. You know, now it's not the 113 that Christian McCaffrey caught. And that's primarily his value. You know, McCaffrey, although if you saw the pictures, it looks like he bulked up in the offseason. So his pictures of his biceps, if you look them up online if you haven't seen them, it's weird. Like he's so cut, it's almost creepy. But anyway, you know, you got to get the PPR. If you're going to full point per reception, you know, McCaffrey is very, very high. You know, and Barkley catches balls out of the backfield too because, you know, just those little checkdowns. You know, Eli, you know, whether it's Eli or, you know, the rookie that they got in there, drawing a blank on his name. But, yeah, the little checkdowns. You know, nothing's open down the field. You just check it down to Barkley. He, you know, he breaks a ton of tackles, obviously. You know, it's a safe play. It's a play they're going to run over and over. So, to answer your question, Barkley, McCaffrey, you know, they're 1 and 2, sure. You know, but Zeke at number 3 isn't too far behind. And then you got a whole bunch of players. I'm very high on Dalvin Cook this year. You know, if you ended up getting one of those in the later round or a later pick, you know, in the same round.
Even with his injury history?
Well, yeah, I mean, that worries me. You know, you can't not consider it in the back of your mind for sure. But the question, I mean, the one thing he's got going, you know, you got to kind of take injuries. It's tough to maneuver around injuries. You know, are you going to completely avoid somebody? Now, if it's a nagging injury like Todd Gurley, that's a different story. You know, that's he's got arthritis kicking in. You know, he's going to be talked about every single week leading up to the main slate. You know, it's what, how's Todd Gurley feel? That's going to be a question we hear every single week for probably the rest of the season. You know, Dalvin, you got to kind of weigh the opportunity. You know, you got Latavius Murray in New Orleans now. You know, so you have to assume that a lot of those goal line carries that Dalvin Cook did not get last season could fall to him now. We know how explosive he is. We assume he's fully healthy. You know, so, you know, it's tough to avoid a guy that's checking all the boxes as far as getting through a previous injury. You know, you're never going to get away from the risk of re-aggravating something or getting hurt again. I don't think he's classified as an injury-prone player just yet. You know, I mean, he's still young. You know, Minnesota, the last 3 games when DeFilippo took over the offense last season, they ran the ball quite a bit. I mean, they were one of the top 5 teams as far as rushing attempts over those last 3 games. Kirk Cousins went from about 40 passing attempts per game, and he only averaged about 27 during those final three games. So they went to a very run heavy, and they've said they want to run the ball more. So, you know, the potential for Dalvin Cook getting a heavy workload and the talent that he has, I think, kind of has to outweigh any, you know, any nervousness that you have about previous injuries or, you know, the fact that he, you know, may be prone to injury.
Well, I guess my my final question real quick, then I'm going to get off air. As far as you were saying about the defenses adjusting to the second year to Mahomes, what about the defenses the second year adjusting to Barkley now with Odell Beckham gone for the Giants? I guess my question for you would be, do you have any faith in Eli Manning at all to take any pressure off of Barkley in the passing game? In my opinion, Manning's been shot for the last 3 years. I mean, he'll have his good games, but as far as, you know, having a quality season, I think he's just going on the merit that he won two Super Bowls and the Giants are keeping him around for that. What's your thoughts if Eli can't keep the pressure off or if they take him out and go to Daniel Jones, how is that affecting your strategy for Barkley?
Well, now, I completely agree with you on Eli. You know, it's funny that you bring him up. You know, the guys in the group, they know I despise Eli Manning as a football player. I think my take is Eli Manning will probably be the worst Hall of Fame quarterback ever. I'm not a fan at all. He has been shot. You're absolutely right. I dislike him so much, I'd say he's been shot for even longer, but whatever. He's absolutely done. Eli isn't going to take any pressure off of anyone. If anything, he's going to add pressure to everyone of his other teammates, defense and offense included. He's a liability out there. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that argues otherwise. That said, Barkley is matchup-proof, okay? You know, if you go back through his logs of what he did last year, and it's a valid point to bring up defenses again, but at some point, you know, you just can't stop certain people, you know, and especially these little checkdowns, you know. I mean, you can't, you know, you can scheme, you know, and you can set your linebackers wide and kind of float them, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, try to shadow for Barkley, you know, either side, whichever way he's going to go. But you can't come up with a coaching plan to stop breaking tackles. You know what I mean? He's elusive. He's a massive, massive talent. And yeah, there's a certain level of how good somebody is that you can't coach for. You know, and it was the same situation last year. You know, Barkley, everyone knew Barkley was a stud, right? And you look at the team that the Giants had last year, Barkley's the only thing you had to plan for. You know, I mean, how does any defensive coordinator go, okay, we got the Giants coming in this week. What are we worried about? Okay, listen, on the list, number one, Saquon Barkley. On the list, number two, maybe Odell Beckham. At that time, he was having temper tantrums. He was fighting with, you know, the net and whatnot, and he was being a little diva. Like he's prone to do. Obviously, you have to worry about it. But, you know, the numbers just weren't there. I mean, as a defense coordinator, even with Beckham, even with Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard, you're still focusing on Barkley. You know, if you're going to beat the Giants and you're worried about the offense, there's no way you don't look at Barkley and say, hey, we stopped Barkley, let's make Eli throw. Because when he throws, a good portion of the time, bad things happen. You know, it's like Tremont Williams from the Packers came out after the Thursday night game, and he had that great quote. He said, we knew if we made Mitchell Trubisky a quarterback, we could win, which is a pretty sick burn in my opinion. But, you know, it's a similar situation. I mean, how do you not make Eli throw when you're facing the Giants? I mean, you got to love your chances to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have tape on Barkley, but – it's pretty much the same old story. You know, now there's no Beckham in town, so, you know, you're not any more worried about the Giants offense than you were last year. So, But yet Barkley got it done. I think he has a big year. You know, Barkley had over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. I mean, it's just insane. You know, 14 touchdowns last year on a very bad team. You know, a team that only came on late in the season. So I think he's matchup proof. I think you're okay. You know, if you're looking at him in daily fantasy, it's just a matter of what you want to pay for him. You know, Barkley had plenty of very good games against matchups that weren't in his favor, you know, against top 10 defenses against running backs. So.
Well, thank you for the call, Mike. That was some pretty good questions there for Chris. If you're listening to the show now, this is Saturday morning Fantasy Live with Chris, presented by Hammer DFS. And of course, we are past the 10:30 mark. So if you're listening to this now, you're listening to it on the archived version. But I want to thank Chris. Thank you for doing this. And I look forward to every Saturday now talking to you and getting a lowdown on fantasy football and looking to see who the power players are from week to week and seeing how it changes from week to week as well and based on these guys and their performance. So I'm excited about that and excited to have you here, yeah. Chris, and want to thank you guys, you and Hammer, for coming on board with the Fastlane Sports Show for this year. I appreciate that very much for you guys doing that and for you taking time to come on today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This was fun, Pete, and you know, I'm looking forward to it. Whole lot to talk about every single week. So bring those calls in and let's have some fun. I'm excited for this year. You know, this is a great time of year. This is about as busy as the sports calendar is going to get with, you know, hockey and basketball right around the corner. And then you know, creeping up on the postseason with for baseball. I mean, this is prime time, especially for somebody like me sitting with the Hammer group. So I'm excited.
Yeah. No problem, Chris. And then once again, thank you. We will talk to you. We might just have to make this an hour long show.
You said it would go by quick, and I got to run in my mouth and look at the time. I was like, whoo, blew by that half hour.
I know. I told you it goes by quick. So we'll have to look into it. We'll see what goes on. If we have more people calling in and asking questions, we might just bump it up to an hour long show. But so Chris, have a good rest of your weekend. Have a good week, and we will talk to you next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock when you come back to give us next week's fantasy players to watch out for.
And it sounds great, Pete. Hey, have fun at the track tonight. That's cool. It's around location. It should be a lot of fun.
I'm hoping so. As long as it ain't too cold.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
So,
I'm dropping off.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, Pete.
All right, everybody. That was Chris Racic with Hammer DFS. Hammer DFS is a proud new partner of the Fastlane Sports Show. Just came on this year. He will be back every Saturday morning to talk to us about fantasy football and the players to look out for that weekend. So I look forward to that. Well, until next week, until later this afternoon, we will be back later this afternoon once we get to the racetrack and get all set up. So we will talk to you in a little bit. If you don't tune in or if we don't hear from you, have a good rest of your weekend and we'll talk to you later.